Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 41.
Oh, sorry?
Chapter 23, Text 40, chapter entitled Devahuti's Lamentation. Vaishrambhake, Surasane, Nandane, Pushpabhadrake, Manase, Chaitrarathye, Chao, Saha, Reme, Ramaya, Rataha, Vaishrambhake Surasane, Nandane Pushpadrake, Pushpadrake, Manase Chaitrarathye cha, Sareme Ramaya Rataha, Vaishrambhake Surasane, Nandane Pushpabhadrake, Manase Chaitrarathye cha, Sareme Ramaya Rataha, Vaishrambhake Surasane, Nandane Pushpabhadrake, Manase Chaitrarathye cha, Sareme Ramaya Rataha, Vaishrambhake, in the Vaishrambhaka garden, Surasane, in Surasana, Nandane, in Nandana, Pushpabhadrake, in Pushpabhadraka, Manase, by the Manasa Sarovara Lake, Chaitrarathye, in Chaitrarathya, Cha, and Saha, he, Reme, enjoyed, Ramaya, by his wife, Rataha, satisfied. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Satisfied by his wife, he enjoyed in that aerial mansion not only on Mount Meru, but in different gardens known as Vaishrambhaka, Surasana, Nandana, Pushpabhadraka, and Chaitrarathya, and by the Manasa Sarovara Lake. There's no purport, so I'll read text 41. Rajishnuna vimanena kamagena mihiyasa vaimanikan achyasheta charaulokan yitanila. He travelled in that way through the various planets, as the air passes uncontrolled in every direction, coursing through the air in that great and splendid aerial mansion, which could fly at his will. He surpassed even the demigods. Translation responsively. He travelled in that way through the various planets as the air passes uncontrolled in every direction, coursing through the air in that great and splendid aerial mansion, which could fly at his will. He surpassed even the demigods. Purport. The planets occupied by the demigods are restricted to their own orbits, but Kardama Muni, by his yogic power, could travel all over the different directions of the universe without restriction. The living entities who are within the universe are called conditioned souls. That is, they are not free to move everywhere. We are inhabitants of this earthly globe. We cannot move freely to other planets. In the modern age, man is trying to go to other planets, but so far he has been unsuccessful. It is not possible to travel to any other planets because by the laws of nature, even the demigods cannot move from one planet to another. But Kadama Muni, by his yogic power, could surpass the strength of the demigods and travel in space in all directions. The comparison here is very suitable. The words yita anila indicate that as the air is free to move anywhere without restriction, so Kadama Muni unrestrictedly travelled in all directions of the universe. Omigan timirandyasya gananjana shalakaya chakshu unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manohishtam sapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svaparantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana lalita shri Bhagdevtam Vrijna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagna Laita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Pandu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavaja Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Paladananda Swamini Tinamane Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasati Deva Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschata Deshatarane. So verse again, text 41 is Rajishnuna Vimanena Kamagena Mahimsa Vaismanikan Ajasheta Charalokan Yatanilaha. He travelled in that way through the various planets as the air passes uncontrolled in every direction. Coursing through the air in that great and splendid aerial mansion which could fly at his will, he surpassed even the demigods. I just noticed somehow or other I didn't get to speak tomorrow's verse. Has my name in it. but that's for someone else. So I was thinking about last Friday. I happened to go in Harinam for a first time in a couple of months or so, and similarly, you know, going on Harinam is just about half a dozen devotees walking around the streets of Melbourne, and you know, these cities that we live in, they're fortresses of Maya. So it's very hard for such a small group to have, you know, a pronounced impact. Although the effect is there, subtly, that people are getting the jnana security of seeing devotees, and if they can hear the Maha Mantra over the instruments. I was playing the wampus, so it's kind of hard, but you know, it's, you know, the group is there, they're walking for some people, and then they pass a group of people and then they're gone, and then basically the material energy just covers everyone over again, you know, that for that they get the benefit of seeing devotees, and then they're again absorbed in their material activities. So then I was thinking, well, really, this Harinam, the person that people that are getting the most benefit are the devotees. So, you know, if we're absorbed in chanting in Kirtan or in Harinam, then, you know, we get the most advantage because we understand the knowledge and we get, you know, we can absorb ourselves more than materialistic people. So similarly, giving class is also an opportunity to more deeply absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness. And so it's said that, you know, the speaker and the hearers all get benefit. The, you know, Pariksit Maharaj heard, so he was benefited by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of Shukadeva Goswami, and Shukadeva Goswami, of course, was benefited by narrating the transcendental pastimes and glories of the Lord and his devotees. So, but the hearer, you could say, gets some added benefit because if you're going to give class, you have to absorb yourself more in the philosophy and the pastimes and understand it more. For starters, you have to be practicing properly. You can't give class if you're not practicing Krishna consciousness, if you're not chanting regularly, following the regular principles. So otherwise the purity won't be there. People, it won't affect people's consciousness in the same way. So, and also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one who teaches this philosophy of Bhagavad Gita to the devotees, they will return back to Godhead, and they are the dearest servants of Krishna, and there's none more dearer to him than those devotees who are preaching. So this is something we can, if we're not already, we can aspire for to practice in such a way that we qualify ourselves, or not that we become qualified, but you know, just to serve our spiritual masters, to pass on this knowledge that we've received. Living entity getting some benefit here. So Prabhupada describes about the insect and the king can be on the same seat, asan, but their consciousness is different. So I'm just reminded of that, seeing there's a little insect sitting on the Bhagavatam. even if people, you know, when we're absorbed in spreading Krishna consciousness, then that's the real attractive, that's what's really going to attract people to Krishna consciousness. When we're absorbed in ourselves practicing and preaching it to others, then that becomes very attractive to people because you get purified, and then, you know, you experience some spiritual enlightenment, spiritual happiness, and that's what people want. People want happiness. So that is the ultimate preaching tool, is to be happy in Krishna consciousness. Just like I have a picture at home of, it's a photo of Prabhupada chanting, I think it's probably in Tompkins Square Park. So he's just sitting on the grass with cartels, chanting Hare Krishna, and he's surrounded by some young hippies that some are standing, some are sitting, some are, you know, looking off in the distance, and some are watching Prabhupada. But Prabhupada, he's just absorbed in the chanting. You see on his face, he's concentrating, he's just absorbed in the holy name. He's not really so much concerned with what's going on around him, even though he's, you know, the center of that whole scene. He's not conscious of that. He's just fully absorbed in the chanting, and therefore, so that's it's like you know, like a magnet. People become attracted to that absorption. Today we're continuing the pastime of Kadamamuni and Devahuti. It goes for several chapters. So I just wanted to mention some, maybe for me, two classes ago, which was like a couple months ago, when I was discussing Kardama Muni, and this is back in chapter 21. So I just want to I need to rectify something. So I was just asking one devotee, because in this verse in that I spoke on some time ago, this was just when Kardama Muni, Vishnu had appeared before him after he's done his austerities. And so then he, you know, is praising Lord Vishnu, and then he asks for a suitable wife. So, you know, myself, I got, you know, of course, confused by this incident, and because not understanding the whole pastime and the whole context of what is this pastime teaching us. So in that purport, Prabhupada says that, you know, a question may be raised. Since Kardama Muni was advanced in spiritual life, why then did he not ask the Lord for liberation? Why did he want to enjoy material life in spite of his personally seeing and experiencing the Supreme Lord? The answer is that not everyone is competent to be liberated from material bondage. So the point is that Kardama Muni is liberated, but it's not that Kardama Muni is not competent to be liberated, but we are not competent to be liberated. So therefore, Prabhupada's next statement is, it is everyone's duty, therefore, to enjoy according to his present position, but under the direction of the Lord or the Vedas. So basically, to engage our desires for material enjoyment in Krishna service, according to the directions of the scriptures and our spiritual authorities. So this is really the essence of this whole pastime, that as Keshav Prabhu was saying yesterday, that it's basically for grihasthas, that the importance of grihastha ashram for making spiritual advancement by engaging one's material desires in the service of Krishna. So if Kardama Muni happens to be listening, I hope I didn't say anything offensive previously. And actually, I asked one devotee, senior devotee, and he informed me that Kardama Muni is actually, he does have prema bhakti, he's in Vatsalya Ras with Krishna or Vishnu. So same as Arjuna, in a friendly relationship, a relationship of friendship with Krishna. So in prema bhakti. So, you know, Kardama Muni, he's not a mixed devotee or anything, just because he's, you know, flying around on an aerial mansion enjoying with Devahuti. But he's, you know, at the start of this whole pastime, he was asked by, his service was to populate the whole universe. So that's his, you know, his service. He's just doing his service by procreating. So, the point is that we dovetail our propensities under the direction of Krishna and the Vedas. So as Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, in the material world, man needs a woman and woman needs man. So this sexual energy between men and women that's there needs to be dovetailed. It's a reflection of the spiritual energy, the pure spiritual enjoyment in the spiritual world. So what is this direction given by the Vedas and the Acharyas? Essentially, for devotees, it's to follow the four regulative principles. And generally, we don't meditate on, or I'm struggling, I'm thinking of the local pub. I'm surrounded by pubs. I can't get them out of my mind. But we have enough, taste in our spiritual practice that we don't require it. So in the same way, then, this is the way to overcome the sex desire. So to get that higher taste. Sometimes devotees, as Prabhupada said, then the standard is that if you can restrict yourself to sexual relations with your spouse once a month, and sometimes devotees repeat this, but there's more to it than just that. It's the second part of that, that should be for the purpose of producing Krishna-conscious children. So Urmila Mataji gave a seminar in this temple room, I think it was the start of last year or something, about this engaging our lust. And so, she was making the point that material society separates the act of sexual enjoyment from the outcome, the natural outcome of having children. So we just want the enjoyment but not the responsibility. So this is not good. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had more than 10 children, and Prabhupada in his Grihastha life, he also had several children. Does anyone know how many? About four? Four, yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's a decent sized family, four kids. I don't know many devotees in our community who have four kids. We had twins, so they. If we want the enjoyment of sex, then we have to be prepared to accept the responsibility of the natural outcome of that activity, which is children. So, and then if we're not prepared to accept that responsibility, then we need to restrict ourselves. And Mahatma Prabhu, one senior devotee in ISKCON, he gives seminars on japa and seminars on household life. So he has a very good seminar on available on ISKCON Desire Tree called Women, Men and Sexuality in Krishna Consciousness. So he discusses many of these things about Grihastha life, that it's not an easy thing just to give up sex life when, you're as the example is given of you're next to the open fridge and you're hungry. He gives this example, like, imagine you're starving and you're just like, you come home from a busy day at work and you haven't eaten since lunch and you're really hungry and there's like, just the thing that you love to eat is there in the fridge or on the counter at your home, and you can't have it. So this is the dilemma that can be there. But the point is that we shouldn't reject the standards that Prabhupada has given us, but we should accept these standards. But it may be a gradual process toward working toward, following those standards. So, maybe not everyone, and not everyone's expected to follow these standards, especially if they're not initiated. But initiated devotees should be aiming to follow this standard as strictly as they can. Aniruddha Prabhu gave some very, practical tips. Have separate living quarters. So this was also the standard in, more traditional Vedic culture, that the women of the household, if they were joint families, they would have their own living quarters somewhere in the interior of the house, and the men would live separately somewhere else. Have their own quarters. So, there are practical things you can do, and And as we know, the Prabhupada's formula for Krishna consciousness, that preaching is the essence. So we have to, you know, practice ourselves and engage as much as we can in preaching. Books are the basis. So whatever Prabhupada has given in his books, through his philosophy, his purports, then that is what we follow. That is the basis of what we teach others. We don't concoct anything. And then utility is the principle. We see, not that we necessarily have to go out and endeavour very hard to acquire things that we can then use in Krishna's service, but whatever we naturally have in Krishna's service or comes of its own accord, then we see how can that be used in Krishna's service. And, you know, if it can't, then we might have to reject it. If we can use it in Krishna's service, then that's good. And then purity is the force. So this is the, you know, kind of the culmination. If you're preaching and you're distributing books and you're using things in Krishna consciousness, but you're not practicing strictly, then it's lacking purity, and it's less effective. So we can understand this as we can credit the success of Melbourne's preaching to devotees who are practicing very strictly and are able to, you know, purely transmit that spiritual knowledge to others. So sometimes, this was also a point that Mahatma Prabhu raised, sometimes we're asking how questions. You know, how can I follow the regular principles? How can I be enthusiastic? How, etc. But actually it's better to ask why. He was saying, if you're fixed in the why, then the how, you know, sorts itself out automatically. So what is that why? You know, why are we practicing Krishna consciousness at all? You know, why follow these rules and regulations? Why chant? And so we get answers to that question, or various, you know, why we should be doing all these things, from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, by understanding the philosophy. So then it becomes much clearer to us, you know, why we should control our mind and senses and etc. Because Krishna explains we're part and parcel of Him. Mamaya vamsa jiva loke. So we're part and parcel of Krishna. We don't belong to the material energy. We're spiritual energy. So these influences that we're under are foreign to us, so we need to, you know, fight back. The mind is always pushing us, but something we can do is push back, not be subjected so much to the mind, but get some determination to push back the mind, and as Prabhupada's guru said, beat the mind. You know, if the mind is playing up, beat it down. Not always easy, but this is, you know, we shouldn't think that the mind is so powerful that we can't control it. So of course the best solution to, you know, controlling the senses is to absorb the mind in Krishna consciousness. You know, having very good japa, absorbing ourselves in the philosophy. It's so nice. You read some of the Prabhupada's purports in Bhagavad Gita, and they're poetic. They're like, you know, poetic philosophy. And we can absorb our minds in the philosophy, in preaching, and associating nicely with devotees, having, you know, enjoying talking about Krishna Katha with other devotees and serving together. And, you know, engaging our intelligence, how we can ask ourselves how to be a better servant of my spiritual master. So, you know, being a servant of our spiritual master isn't just a, you know, that extends to all our material duties as well. Our spiritual master is pleased if we perform all our material duties for Krishna's pleasure. Spiritual master is not pleased if you neglect your material duties, you know, claiming that, you know, you just want to be spiritual and it's too hard or something. That won't be pleasing to your spiritual master. So we should, perform our material duties, but the main focus of our life is still on Krishna consciousness and developing our relationship with Krishna. And we would have been able to get a Bhagavad Gita. I was meant to get that earlier. Sorry. Yeah. So, as we've also heard, the material world is predominantly ruled by passion. So, thanks for... Krishna says that, this is the sinful enemy of the world in 337. So, as I was saying, the purports. So we should know not only the verses of Bhagavad Gita, but we should know some key points from the purports as well. Prabhupada has so many nice examples and analogies that he gives in the purports. And they're extremely useful for preaching, and if we remember them ourselves, then they help us in our Krishna consciousness. So 337, Arjuna has asked, why do we perform sinful activities? Why do we have this lust in our heart? Or, you know, why do we want to do things that are against Krishna consciousness? And it's because of lust, Krishna says. It's born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath. So, the way Prabhupada explains it in this purport, the mode of passion is this midway point. You can degrade into ignorance, into wrath, or you can elevate yourself to goodness. This is very important philosophy that Prabhupada explains to us, that he says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expanded himself into many for his ever-increasing spiritual bliss, and the living entities are parts and parcels of this spiritual bliss. So this is an answer to the question of why do we even exist? What is our purpose? And as it said, you know, we all want enjoyment, so this is originally coming from Krishna, that he's the supreme enjoyer. But it's very hard to enjoy just by yourself if you're locked in a room, even if you have maybe a iPod or something, listen to some music, have nice food, then still, if you're by yourself, it's limited enjoyment. But if you invite a whole group of people, dance together, have a feast, it's a lot more enjoyment. So Krishna expanded himself into all of us, into the jivas, to increase his pleasure. So that is our purpose, to give pleasure to Krishna. And so he says, if therefore the mode of passion, instead of being degraded into the mode of ignorance, is elevated to the mode of goodness by the prescribed method of living and acting, then one can be saved from the degradation of wrath by spiritual attachment. So the prescribed method of living and acting will bring us to the mode of goodness. So that prescribed method is to, hear and chant. Living, we have to be clean and serve others, serve Krishna. And just coming to the mode of goodness, this will diminish a lot of the lust that's in our consciousness. A lot of the material desires that we have will be reduced just by coming to the mode of goodness. This is the importance of living simply as well. Prabhupada says later in the Gita that simplicity is meant for all of the ashrams, not just Brahmacharya. So the significance of simplicity is that it enables you to hear. You know, if we're not being complicated means we're thinking about the future, we have so many plans for the future, so many aspirations for the future, or we're lamenting about things didn't go right in the past. So when the mind is clouded by all of these things, then you can't hear the philosophy. But if you reduce your material desires by living simply, then you can hear much better, hear the philosophy. And you know, everything, you gain clarity in your consciousness. You understand what is your duties, spiritual duties in life, how you can connect everything to Krishna consciousness. And so this is done, Prabhupada says, by developing a service attitude. So there's sense enjoyment, and the opposite of that is a service attitude. Rather than having an attitude of enjoyment, have an attitude of service. So that's not only, you know, doing service, that's the beginning, but having an attitude of service. So, you know, we can still be engaged physically in service, but have the idea of somehow or other enjoying that the results of those that service, either through maybe subtly through respect or honour, or some material benefit from our service. But a service attitude means we give up those desires and serve only to please. So in verse 40 mentions about the different gardens that Kadama Muni enjoyed with his wife Devahuti. So one of them, Nandana, this is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. There it is, chapter 2. So in the purport, see, this is the thing, this is there in the purport to in Bhagavad Gita, that what does Prabhupada say here? It is understood that there are gardens called Nandana Kanana, in which there is good opportunity for association with angelic, beautiful women, and having a profuse supply of somaras wine. Such bodily happiness is certainly sensual. Therefore, there are those who are purely attached to such material temporary happiness as lords of the material world. So, as we've already described, Kadama Muni was enjoying... He's just showing us, actually, how to... He has no interest in material enjoyment. He's just like Arjuna. Krishna used Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna is just using his devotees to show us. So Kadama Muni has no interest in enjoying in these different gardens, but he's just showing us how to dovetail our propensities in Krishna consciousness. And so this, this verse was also interesting because today, being the start of Chaturmasya, first month being fasting from green leafy vegetables or spinach. So the crossways manager will have to remind the cook not to add spinach on Wednesdays to the sabji. At least just one bucket for the... So the devotees who have service in crossways can eat the prasadam. I remember, yeah, didn't always happen. And otherwise, then you have to go to Gopal's and it takes longer. And yeah, but it just don't put spinach in one bucket of sabji. And then Wednesday crossways is the most popular day. Potato and chickpeas and spinach. Chickpeas and potato and spinach sabji. So it's got some. Every Wednesday was the most busy day. People like chickpeas. They People have an obsession with protein for some reason, even though it's, they think if you're vegetarian you have to have extra protein, but it's not quite like that. So Prabhupada says that in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, those who perform the 4-month penances become eligible to drink the soma ras beverages to become immortal and happy forever. Even on this earth, some are very eager to have soma ras to become strong and fit to enjoy sense gratifications. Such persons have no faith in liberation from material bondage, and they are very much attached to the pompous ceremonies of Vedic sacrifices. So is this why we're practicing charmasya? So we can become eligible to drink soma ras in the heavenly planets and enjoy forever? Actually, it's not actually forever, it's just in the heavenly planets. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, where the living entity is rotating up and down in the material universe, sometimes in the heavenly planets, sometimes in the hellish planets, sometimes on the earthly planets. So when it said, become immortal and happy forever, it's, relative to the earth situation. Just like Lord Brahma lives for 311 trillion years, so that's, it is practically eternal from our limited perspective. But for Krishna, it's a flash of lightning. So this isn't why we, of course, this isn't why we follow Charamasya. As our Nectar of Instruction says that Achahara Prayashascha Pajalponi Magraha. So we have to follow the rules and regulations given by the Acharyas. Not neglect them, and not just act whimsically and think, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I eat spinach. I'll have a spinach pie for lunch. And neither to, be too, just absorb ourselves in rules and regulations. We're meant to absorb ourselves in Krishna. So if somehow that accidentally we eat a piece of spinach, then it's not the end of the world. So this is a nice instruction in Rupa Goswami gives that, it will destroy your bhakti if you're too attached to the rules and regulations, and it will destroy your bhakti if you neglect the rules and regulations. So you have to find a middle balance. And then the next verse, 41, that Prabhupada's discussing about, just like the air can pass everywhere, and in the same way, Kadama Muni can unrestrictedly travel in all directions of the universe. So that is the pure devotee's position. But for ourselves, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Shariram yad avapnoti yachchap yukra matishara vihit vaitani samyati vayogandhan ivashyan. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. So the quality of air is that it can carry things. It carries the aromas of the rose. And in the same way, the subtle body carries the soul to the next body. So our mind carries us to our next body. The spirit soul is encased in this subtle body, the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego. So living entity, we're changing bodies, but actually the living entity has an eternal body. We have a form that doesn't change. We have a form that is eternally blissful, and that form is just suitable for serving Krishna in the spiritual world. So that is what we're trying to uncover by the process of Krishna consciousness, and avoid this repetition of birth and death, of repeatedly changing our bodies, because it's not necessary. We already have a body. We don't need to keep changing bodies. So this is the, you know, the activity of the air. And then I'll just lastly also speak about today's the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. So there's a lot of, there's some, Prabhupada gives some details of his pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita in chapter 10. You know, that's quite long, but really the mostly what Prabhupada focused on in talking about Sanatana Goswami was Sanatana Goswami illustrates to us how we should approach the spiritual master. Because it's a very interesting discussion that Prabhupada said that he says, Ke ami, when he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya himself and Rupa Goswami, then they were both, Rupa Goswami and Sanat Goswami were both recognized as very great scholars of the Vedic literatures in Bengal. And they were the most highly posted government officials. So, you know, the Muslim government, Pathan rule, they recognized these two brothers as very, you know, very learned scholars and very competent government officials. But they left that service and surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. And as Prabhupada explains, although they were so highly elevated in their learning, they didn't approach Lord Chaitanya like, oh yeah, you know, we just need a spiritual master. We're already very learned, but you know, it's kind of the etiquette to get initiated. So here we are. Can you please initiate us? And no, you know, put aside all their learning. And Rupa Goswami says, K.M.E., the meaning being, who am I? Sanatana Goswami asks Lord Chaitanya, who am I? So as Prabhupada explains, this is the very first question that we have to ask. Explaining about the living entity where changing our bodies. So we have to ask, who actually are we? We think we're this body. And Prabhupada explains that we can't understand who we are just by, you know, speculating ourselves. Like, I think I'm this, I think I'm that. You know, this is who I am. I'm, you know, I'm Indian or Australian or I'm Hindu. We will never come to the conclusion of who we are. So this is the importance of approaching an authority to find out who we actually are. Prabhupada explains that otherwise, if you don't know who you are, then you don't know what your duties are and you don't know what your destination is. If you don't know who you are, then how will you know what to do? Because your identity, you know, that dictates what your activities will be and what your destination in life is going to be. So therefore this question of who am I by Sanat Goswami is most important. And he says, Ke ami kena amaya jare tapatrai. He says he's suffering the threefold miseries of material existence and he's just in a very miserable condition, not knowing who he is. So this is practically the position of everyone, that without even knowing who they are, they're just still there engaging in materialistic activities and suffering from their body and mind, from their other living entities and from the natural forces of, you know, extreme heat and extreme cold. Everyone's suffering these things, but still they don't know, they don't inquire about who they are. And they don't understand that they don't even have to suffer those things. You know, like Prabhupada says, the drunkards at the Bowery, they're suffering like anything, but because they're so much in ignorance, then there's no need for them to inquire from a spiritual master because they're not even aware of their suffering. So most people are like that, that they're not even aware that they're suffering, so there's no need for them to inquire. But one who knows their suffering in the material world, they should inquire from a spiritual master and approach them. So as Prabhupada says, that Sanatana Goswami, he presented himself like a blank slate. He didn't, you know, put all these... He didn't say to Lord Chaitanya, I'm already very learned, you know, maybe there's a few extra things I need to learn that you can teach me. But he said, no, he doesn't know anything. Beginning with, he doesn't know who he is. So, and Prabhupada also says that... So this is the beginning of the end of our material existence when we approach a spiritual master. You know, our materialistic disease, just like if you're very sick, then just by going to the doctor, that's the beginning of the end of your disease. If you're very sick and you approach the doctor with your symptoms and you ask for help, then your material, your whatever disease you have, then that's the beginning of the end. You will soon get better because the doctor will prescribe you some medicine. So in the same way, when we approach a spiritual master, then that's the beginning of the end of our materialistic disease, that we have this lust and greed and things that are covering our consciousness. And he also says that just desiring perfection guarantees our perfection. So if someone seriously wants to become perfect in this life, then that automatically guarantees their perfection. So this Sanatana Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada compares this to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. And the difference being that Sanatana Goswami, he admitted that he didn't know anything. But Arjuna, he was saying, you know, he was arguing with Krishna. He was saying, if I kill my family members, I will incur sinful reactions. You know, one who breaks a family tradition lives always in hell. You know, there will be blood on my hands. And so he's giving so many reasons to Krishna why he shouldn't fight. So he's... but then Krishna chastises him. He says that you're speaking like a learned man, but those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So he's indirectly, Prabhupada says, he's calling him a fool. Krishna's calling Arjuna a fool. He's acting as if he's, or speaking as if he knows so much, but actually he doesn't know anything. And that's the role that Arjuna's taking. So this is the difference between Arjuna and Sanatana Goswami, that Sanatana Goswami is on a higher level because he doesn't argue with Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He just freely admits, I don't know anything, please instruct me. Whereas Arjuna took some time before he surrendered to Krishna and said, please, I'm your disciple, please instruct me. So Arjuna, Prabhupada says, this is why Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a preliminary study, but Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, these are a higher level of teaching. So we learn from Sanatana Goswami that don't argue with the spiritual master, just admit that you don't know anything. And, you know, you've been wandering in this material world since time immemorial, and, you know, although we won't understand everything initially, because it will take us, say, a long time to understand everything. But even if we don't understand things, and we can inquire and still chant anyway, and still things become clearer to us, and the philosophy becomes clearer, and then, you know, those doubts are removed. But just because we have some doubts, we shouldn't reject the process. You should keep going and gradually keep getting purified. So I'll stop there and see if there's any comments or questions. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.